Have you read or heard the news lately? Well, most of it is bad news, likely to leave you depressed rather than inspired. That's what you get these days on the evening news and other news media. The good news is that there is an alternative. Dr. William Porter has provided wholesome yet compelling stories about people's experiences that many consider unusual, extraordinary, or even miraculous. Dr. Porter is an author who has chronicled stories like these in several books he has written. These stories have come to life on the Storytelling Time radio broadcast. So be prepared to hear some good news for a change. Here is Dr. Porter with today's story.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Storytelling Time. My name is William Porter. Today's show is another interview session, and I'm happy to have with us today Mr. Thomas Wilson.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Great, great. Well, Thomas, let me start right off the bat with your business. In reading over your bio, I learned that you were the founder, you are the founder of Iceberg Entertainment. I'd like for you to tell us about that, but first I want to understand your use of Iceberg as your middle name. Could you go into that?
Thank you so much. You know, that's a very interesting story, but it's truly heartfelt. First thing, you know, just let me once again say thank you for having me today and giving me a chance to really convey my thoughts with your audience and share my viewpoints. But going back to your question, the name Iceberg really comes from, and I keep that as a reminder to me to always stay humble, because it comes from being, success comes from inside. And what took place initially when I formed the name and formed that company was I lost everything. I came into the entertainment industry and I didn't really understand the full scope of it. And I was new to being an entrepreneur. So I jumped out there without no wings, jumped off the roof, and I lost all my finances. And it left me in a very bad situation financially and a mental state. But through the course of that, my faith and my foundation in the Lord, I heard a voice say to me, it's what's in you that counts. You're too focused on what's around you and your circumstance. And to go to biblical scripture, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. With that right there, I said, it resonated with me so much that it brought me out and the name Iceberg Entertainment was formed, and I never looked back because I always kept as a reminder to believe within myself and not what people saw from the outside.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about your business in particular, Iceberg Entertainment, and I understand you're the CEO of your company. Tell us about your responsibilities in running your business.
Well, I bootstrapped myself, so I learned from the ground up. So from the marketing piece, the promotion piece, to the whole structure, the infrastructure, the system, I basically designed it hands-on from implementation to just creating an impact and turning the business itself name into a brand. So now you're looking at over 20 years of history of me being in the entertainment industry of owning over 15 nightclubs, doing shows on the East and West Coast, major name A-list artists like Mary J. Blige, Jay-Z, Puff Daddy. I mean, you name it, I've done it. I've been with the best of the best. I'm considered a household name on the East Coast and within the entertainment industry. So I really made my mark. But all that started for me losing everything, but more so really gaining myself. Because what I lost my flesh, but I gained my spirit.
Well, that's very interesting. It's interesting, too, how you would get around from East Coast to West Coast. And that's travel, I know, is a challenge with me, at least. And so are you able to go from one place to another to do whatever you need to do as far as promotion and your other activities?
That is
pretty easily.
Well, any successful business, you have to create a system. And that's what took place with me. And I learned that early on by just me having a military upbringing of structure and discipline. So with that, I always knew how to create a system. And me going through the pitfalls and learning hands on, I know my business, my industry from top to bottom. So I created a team. That's really what allowed me to grow and move around. It's the team that I created. No man is an island.
Okay. Well, I was talking with you the other day, I think it was about a week ago, and if anybody talks to you enough, they would realize that you're a very spiritual person. And So tell us a little bit about how your faith, in specific terms, is involved with what you do as far as Iceberg Entertainment.
Well, my faith is everything because it guides my decision. It guides my thoughts. It guides how I handle situation, how I handle whether, you know, I'm having a, you could say my business is successful from an outside perspective, or just your family life as well, because you have to have that balance. It's truly essential with the industry that I'm in that you are faith-based, because you have too many distractions or things that can sway you from your objective, your target market, your target audience, or the projection that you want to go in life. So I've used my faith, my belief in God, to always guide my thoughts, my reactions. A lot of us, we run too much off emotions instead of looking at from the opposite end how that person felt in those circumstances. So I always try to put myself in the next man place before I make a decision. Say, what's the reason they're coming? They think this way, or their thought process.
Well, it's kind of interesting to me in your type of business in entertainment. Basically, you're dealing with a secular situation, I guess, 95% of the time. And it's interesting that you bring as a foundation your spirituality. How do other people react when they hear you talk about your spirituality? Or do you do that? Do you mention your spirituality or faith openly in some of these circles that you're around? And you mentioned Jamie Foxx and some of the others. Or do you act in sort of a natural way and let your spirituality, your faith, come out naturally in terms of just treating everybody the way in which they want to be treated?
That's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. At the end of the day, I believe in being real. So I walk it like I talk it. If I'm saying that God is my rock, my actions have to be accordingly. I don't have to yell at the top of my lungs that God, I'm holy and I'm spiritual. You'll see it in my actions. No, one thing that used to be an interesting conversation within the entertainment industry, especially people who knew me in my inner circle. Somebody said one time, you know, I saw you last night at another event, and you seemed like you had something to drink. You were drinking. And that told me right there is people that didn't know me. Because everybody around that person, when they made the statement, looked at them like, no, you don't know him. He doesn't drink or smoke. He does nothing. You know, and that used to be the big joke in the industry and at my nightclubs with my employees or with people that I did business with. How is it that you're in this business, but these things that normally affect us, that we do, these bad habits or behaviors, they haven't infiltrated you? Because I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. I have a passion for what I do. My passion is to see people have enjoyment and provide them with a safe place that they can come out and also leave and take those memories with them. No, I don't gain pleasure out of alcohol. I'm not against anybody that drink, but that's just not my thing, and it's never been.
Well, let me ask you this. Again, it's a similar question. And you're in the entertainment industry. You're in those circles a lot more than a lot of us who are not. But we do view television, and we go to the movies, and we see all these people, and we see all the glitz and everything like that. Do you see a lot of the, or do you see any spirituality emanating from any aspect of this industry in particular, or from any of the individuals, some of whom we just noted, or is
definitely
that kind of, you no, don't see that at all? Because if you look at television, I mean, you don't really, it doesn't come across too much at all as far as the spirituality of the industry in general. So we don't know, I don't know if, you know, if they're believers or if they're persons of faith or not.
Once again, I go back to people are real. We all have different personalities, different sides of our personality. Within the entertainment industry, as far as my dealings, I've come across almost everybody that's really spiritual or have some type of God presence within them. So I think we're dealing with a narrative. of what the world wants you to believe versus who people really are. Understand, when they're doing those shows are not reality shows. They're scripted. No, and I don't want to bust nobody's bubble and they think this is real life, but it's not. They're scripted, and you have to look at them as actors performing. Outside of that, a lot of those male or female artists, musicians, entertainers, they're humble. And they do have that God presence, because one thing, they pay homage to God. That's why you see a lot of time when they win awards, they give credit back to the Lord for what they've been through. So on one end, you have society painting the picture because that's entertainment. You know, not too many people want you to sit up there and talk about God on a show that I came to be entertained. However, in real life, we have those conversations all the time, because they'll tell you that without, if it wasn't for the Lord, they would not be where they are presently.
Well, that's a good answer. Let me ask you this. As it pertains to the list of individuals that we mentioned earlier, and it is impressive. I mean, we're talking about some of the top people in the industry. They're big time entertainers. And tell us the extent of your involvement with, say, maybe one or two of these individuals. Do you have any special involvement with any one or two or a few of these particular individuals, as opposed to these artists in general? And I'm not sure if you have had that close
I have a
association.
Lot of, right. Yeah. I have a lot of personal relationship with various artists. I'm not really going to say their name, because one thing about me, I try to keep my personal relationship personal. But it was a good experience for me. Because for one thing, put my mindset in where it needed to be, on a higher level. And being around successful people, that energy, but not just the energy, it's the nuggets you pick up. You pick up so many nuggets that show you the direction of your life and where you're going if you're able to receive the revelation. So I cherish my relationship that I've had with those individuals. I've got them on speed dial, the ones that I need to get in touch with directly. I forged some very good relationships, some very good friendships. I want to say even brotherhood that's come from out of that entertainment industry.
Okay, great. Well, we're going to take a break now, and when we return, I'd like to talk more about how your faith has driven your business pursuits. And so stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Thomas, this show is about providing people with inspiration. And to hear someone like you talk about your success as an entrepreneur is very inspiring, especially being a part of what is perceived to be a very secular business in the entertainment and music industry. And you've touched on your faith before, earlier in this interview, but I'd like for you to get a little bit more specific. There are some principles here that we should talk about. And do you want to address some of those principles again that lead to success in the entertainment business or any other business enterprise or in life in general? Specific faith-based principles.
I'll just simply take it back to the beginning, Genesis. If you take a look, God really described business for you at the beginning within Genesis by saying, first, be fruitful. That's the product. Multiply. Reproduce. In business, you have to create a product. Then you have to reproduce that product. So then you go to the next phase. Subdue. Now you have to understand how to control your market. Then you go to the next phase. Dominion. Dominate. Dominate your industry. You know, so these are all kingdom principles that apply to the business world. And if you really think deeper, let's talk about entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is really the best self-development there is out there, because it allows you to take inventory of yourself, your strengths and your weaknesses. Also, the good book says, write a vision, make it clean, make it plain. So it's saying clarity. You must have clarity in your vision. That's why it's called business plan. Within a business plan, the first thing they tell you to do is figure out where you're going to end up at. What's your executive summary? Your executive summary clearly outlines where you think you're going to end up at. With a vision to be complete with clarity, you must know what it's going to look like. And that's where a lot of entrepreneurs falter at, planning. So we go back to biblical principles. My people suffer from a lack of knowledge. You have to take the time and do the due diligence and have a full detailed plan of everything from your marketing, distribution, manufacturing, branding, your message. The biggest thing is your message.
Well, let me ask you a question involving faith that you may have already talked about to some extent. And that is this. As you know, the Christian faith makes the distinction between what is called the flesh in contrast with the spirit. Tell us how recognizing the difference between the two can be a key in having success in business. I know that's a loaded question, but...
No, that's an excellent question, something that people really need to take some time and really evaluate. What we must realize is that our flesh is connected to the world. Our spirit is connected to heaven. So that's why it says the battlefield is the mind. Because only through the word can you feel that spirit, which takes place in the mind, in order to take control over your emotions, over your flesh. And the conflict that we're having is that so much of us rely on our shell, our flesh, because the outward person only talks to your flesh. You know, your flesh is bound to this world, this earth that we're in. But your spirit is bound to a higher power. So that's why he said, the Lord said, I made you my image and likeness. My image is my spirit. My likeness is my character. But when you enter the world, you enter into sin. So now, through the course of your upbringing, you've been so attached to fleshly things that you forgot about what your true self is. So we fall in love with the outside wrapping and the trappings of the world, as opposed to taking self-inventory and going back to the beginning of who you are essentially, your essence. We have to stay focused. You know, just think about it. How many times have you put yourself in a situation and you heard a voice saying, don't do that, don't go this way, this isn't right? Well, that's your spirit talking to you. So at that point in time, you come in conflict between your spirit and your flesh, because your flesh wants. Your spirit is your GPS for your life.
That's a good analogy. And I'm sure you're aware of the fact that with the GPS, if you happen to go in the wrong direction, or the direction that you didn't plug into the system, it has a way of correcting itself.
That is correct. The steps of a good man are ordered.
Well, that's correct. Let me ask you about something else, since we're on the distinction we just talked about, the flesh versus the spirit. But you also talk about making a distinction between who you are and what you do in gaining success in business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man, we're talking about life PTSD. So, and I'll use an athlete as an example. You know, when you've been on that stage, that platform where you've been very successful and you're getting so much, I guess, notoriety for what you do, you get caught up thinking all you are is an athlete or all you are is a musician. But when that time of your life is over with, you go into withdrawal, depression, worthlessness, hopelessness, because you feel like your identity is tied up into what you do, not versus who you are. Not realizing who you are on the inside allows you to do what you do on the outside. And the key part is that I can always take who I am anywhere. But that skill set that I have on a basketball court may not be relative to another industry. But who I am on the inside, if I'm successful on the basketball court, that's a transferable internal power that allows me to function anywhere I go. And we need to remember that your true gift, those true talents, your skill set, your thought process comes from inside.
But, you know, that's really, really significant, because it's important to realize what your gift is. And the earlier you realize that, the better. And we all have special talents. I'm thinking now, for example, off the top of my head, the Williams sisters in tennis, and how their father nurtured them, I guess, when they were, what, 4 or 5 years old, a ridiculously young age.
Correct.
And playing tennis. And, of course, you know what the results of that was.
That's correct.
And you can go on and on. I could give other examples. But the point is that the earlier you recognize this talent that you have, this God-given talent that you have, the better, because then you can nurture that talent. I think that's what you're saying. So that's great. I understand, Thomas, you're writing a book.
That's correct. Thank you.
And I know we've talked briefly about it before. You didn't say a great deal about it to me, but I understand that the title of it is The I in You. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, could you tell everyone listening how you decided to come up with this particular title? And I have a follow-up question after you give us the answer to that.
Once again, I think the whole theme of our conversations led to the inner man, and that's really what it's about. If you ever want to be successful on the outside, you truly have to master the inside power. You know, and that's that infinite power that lies within you, and it's just waiting for you to let it out. You know, we've been told so much who we are, what we can do and what we can't do, that sometimes you forget who you really are. So a lot of us suffer from identity crisis because we don't know our background. We don't know the power we truly have, and people dormant us and put us into a state of depravity. So we have to change our mindset and understand that there's nothing in this world you cannot do and you cannot be. But first, you have to make that decision for yourself and stop letting other people tell you what you can do and what you can't do. You know, that inner person, and I'm sure we've all been through this in life, where at some point in time, somebody told you couldn't do something, and you waited so long, listened to what everybody else said, and they influenced you so much that you didn't take a chance. You didn't take a chance on yourself. But then later on, something struck a nerve, and you made a decision to go for it. And when you made a decision to go forward with whatever that thought, that idea, your dream was, it came to fruition. Now, had you listened to yourself from the beginning, you would have seen all along everything that you ever wanted to be was just there sitting inside of you.
I think one reason why some people might not want to or feel led to access that power within them is because they realize that it comes with a responsibility, and they become responsible and accountable for that power or for that talent that's within them, and they know that they're going to have to do something with it in order to bring it to fruition, as you indicated, which means two things that I was going to ask you about next, and that is pain and discomfort.
Yes, I mean, just to echo your point, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. So with that said, I want to focus on something. And let me start off with a quote. Our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we're more powerful or powerful beyond measure. You see, a lot of us are scared to access that power because we don't want to leave the people around us. That's where that comfort zone is coming from. It's not that you don't feel like you can do it or accomplish your goals, but you're basing your decisions on an influence. And as I ended last time, who's influencing you? Depending on who's the major influence on you, depends on that level of impact you have in life. Let's go a little bit deeper. and I want to deal with something more specific. Let's say with the financials. Some of our most impactful leaders, you can't tell me what's in their bank account. And I'll start with one person, Martin Luther King. Can anybody tell me what was in his bank account when he passed away? But we all know the influence and the impact he's had in our culture, our community, and in this world. We focus too much on distractions. See, but that's the trick of the enemy. Our people suffer from a lack of knowledge, the prince of darkness. But the key behind saying the prince of darkness is this: ignorance. You don't know what you don't know. You have to seek information and then apply it.
We're about out of time, but you did mention distractions, and I've mentioned it before, and I think that's one reason why a lot of people don't focus as they should. And I know I've heard from you this law of focus. That is critical, and it's critical because it's very challenging. It's difficult for most of us, really, at times, to focus on what we should focus on. And the reason for that, as you indicated, all the distractions that are around us. So just address that concept before you leave, the law of focus, as it relates to entrepreneurship and specifically.
Okay. Well, a lot of people say the law of attraction, and I understand the principle behind that. However, how can I attract what I'm not focused on? So I think focus comes first. And when I'm focused on that, every part of my being, and this really is the secret. I'm about to drop a nugget that's the secret to being successful. It's when you align your spirit with your emotions. When your spirit and your emotions become one, but your spirit is dominant over your emotion, you can achieve anything you want in life. And what you've just done is have complete focus as to the direction you're trying to go in or whatever it is you're trying to achieve. That's why focus is so important, because what it does, it moves out of everything out of your way that could possibly be a distraction.
Okay, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we finish the show today?
No, I just want to say thank you for having me out here. Thank you for allowing me to share my views with your platform, and just hope to be back again.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you for being on the show today. Now, give our listening audience your contact information for anyone desiring more information.
Oh, definitely. You can always reach me from business coaching to doing speaking, transformational speaker. I transform followers into leaders. So you can reach me at TWICEBERG@gmail.com. That's TWICEBERG@gmail.com. Or you can call me directly, 336-681-3297. That's 336-681-3297.
Okay, I'd like to say that I'm grateful as well to our listeners, as usual, today, and we'll see you the next time. And remember, there's always more good things coming your way.